And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm Ryan Burns of GopherDigest.com.
All right, Ryan. So it's kind of amazing. The summer flies, right? And all of a sudden, it's almost football season. Fall camp starting on Friday here. So
right.
Let's before we talk about fall camp, let's talk a little bit about what's happened since we last chatted. Maybe the big thing was a wide receiver commitment. You want to talk a little bit about who this guy is and why this is such big news?
Yeah, I mean, commitments always seem to happen for a guy like me when you're either out enjoying time with your friends and family or you don't have service. It's always one of the two.
Yeah.
And or you're driving. So, Saturday afternoon, I returned from the deer woods to see my phone explode with news that three-star wide receiver Dredrick Snelson committed to Minnesota over the likes of an Auburn, an Alabama, Notre Dame, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I mean, the list goes on. And he was a one-time Miami, Florida commit. So it was unexpected, I would say. I mean, I did recap with him earlier that week saying that, you know, he was very excited about his Minnesota official visit coming up in October. Obviously, the Daniels brothers played a huge role in this, but if I would have told you last week that, you know, if you would ask me who would be the next one to commit to Minnesota, and I said Dredrick Snelson, I think everyone should have rolled their eyes, saying I'm drinking too much golden Kool-Aid. But it was an unexpected commitment. It's one of the best offer lists you've seen in the Jerry Kill era, but it's a welcome surprise for Gopher fans, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk about then, if it is such a surprise, how'd we get here? Like, what's the process, and how does he become a Gopher commit?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, he set up an official visit to Minnesota for October 31st, so it'll be the Halloween night game when the Gophers play Michigan. It's the same weekend that his best friends, Elijah and Elijah Daniels, will be visiting as well. And so he really laid out to me that since the Daniels brothers got back, they've been in his ear every day, just talking about Minnesota, what they saw, how they were blown away by it, how he really thinks, or they really think he would fit in very well there. And another huge thing for Snelson, and the reason, one of the main reasons he did commit, is he thinks he can play early on here. And I agree. I mean, his skill set at 6 foot, 190 pounds would be very good for what the Gophers need. You know, most of the receivers we have are 6 foot four and above, and they need a guy in the interior who's not afraid to run the crossing routes and who's not afraid to be physical over the middle. So I think, I mean, schematically wise, I think he's a very good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how things play out. I mean, again, he's second school he's committed to. He did commit to Miami, Florida. I mean, he told me personally that as of right now, he's shutting down things in recruiting and he's going to be coming to Minnesota, but We'll see how things play out here in the next few weeks.
Sure. So like we've talked about a little bit, you know, football and maybe basketball more so than football, commitments aren't always solid, right? A lot of times it's almost like a reservation more than it's a commitment. So how solid is this guy, especially given his offer sheet?
If I had to, you know, lay odds on all of Minnesota's commitments to this point, I would say Snelson is probably the least firm.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is, again, he hasn't visited yet, which is it's very just different for me to see Jerry Kill accept commitments without recruits seeing campus, as that was basically unheard of in his first 3-4 years here at Minnesota. And just as it happened with the Daniels twins, he accepted the commitments, you know, trusting defensive coordinator Tracy Clays, and I think this goes the same way. As Clays is the one who has extended the offer to Snelson, and Jerry really trusts, you know, Tracy Clays. So we'll see what happens, though. I think Snelson at this point in time is probably pretty committed. You know, some of his offers weren't committable at this point. I know
sure.
that Alabama isn't because they got full. I know Miami still sent him an offer sheet. Illinois sent him an offer today. He does have legit offers, and, you know, he has put on a show so far in his career. But if I had to put odds on, you know, who is the least committed, I would say Snelson, just because he hasn't visited and he hasn't met the coaches and all that. But, again, that's not saying he's going to commit. I don't want to be reading all this saying Ryan Burns is saying that Dredrick Snelson's going to decommit. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's the least firm just because knowing most of the kids in this 2016 class, they're rock solid.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them, if not all of them, have seen campus, have shut things down, and Snelson's the only one who hasn't seen campus, and he hasn't met most of the Gopher coaches. So at this point in time, I'd say he's pretty solid, but I wouldn't be surprised in, you know, December, January to hear that he might be taking visits elsewhere.
Sure, especially given his history. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
All right, let's talk a little bit about wide receiver recruiting now that Snelson's on the board. You know, names we brought up last time were Spielman from Eden Prairie and then Edwards, it's Bailey Edwards, I think. And he's another guy out from Michigan, Berkeley Edwards' brother. So let's talk about wide receiver recruiting. What are we going to do now? Are they going to take another commit? Do you think that they're going to shut down wide receiver given they have Phillip Howard and Snelson on board now?
Well, here's the deal, and I'm laughing here because I talked to a couple different sources and I asked them this exact same question, you know. What do you think? Are you guys done or what's the deal now? And, you know, they both said the same, to me saying it depends on what Kill wants to do.
Uh-huh.
And so what I mean by that is where, you know, a couple of the guys potentially on the staff may want to take another receiver or they may not want to. Ultimately, they can think what they want to think, but it ultimately comes down to what Jerry Kill wants to do. If I had to put money on things right now, I would say that J.D. Spielman, if he wanted to be a Gopher today, they would take him and then definitely would be done at wide receiver. I did talk to Spielman today, and he did tell me that, you know, Minnesota did send him an official offer sheet, which he received in the mail. So I think that Spielman is probably the only one I would potentially see, you know, committing. I think this may rule out Bailey Edwards. I know there's connections to his brother and all those different types of things, but Spielman is an in-state kid who's camped here, who's had an offer. His father's the Vikings GM. His teammate and best friend's committed here in Carter Coughlin. Mm-hmm. There's just too many things that, you know, the local media would get upset about if you were to, you know, be denied by Minnesota saying they're full. And another point about this is, I think Tyler Johnson maybe, especially if J.D. Spielman commits and then, say, Antoine Winfield gets into the fold here before September, he may not have a spot. Minnesota would be done at receiver, which
sure.
Minnesota is recruiting him at, and the defensive backs would be have one more spot left. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that the Gophers have a spot for him, but that's a whole other topic, but as far as receiver, I think Spielman could commit, but he's on a very short list. So I would expect things to really start winding down at wide receiver for recruiting now.
Do you have any indication whether or not Spielman even plays football in college? What are the odds he maybe just goes the lacrosse route instead?
I'd say very slim at this point. I know that he's exploring his football options, and he still is committed to Ohio State for lacrosse at this time. But I think that, you know, football is really a huge option for him. I think he's starting to realize that more. You know, his father is Rick Spielman, the Vikings GM. He's been at all these different colleges. He's visited Michigan. He's visited Nebraska, both of which he holds offers from. Ultimately, I think come February when he signs a letter of intent somewhere, it'll be for football.
Sure. Let's go back to Tyler Johnson, too. So he's another dual sport athlete, right? So,
right.
And he's been on the AAU circuit hard this summer. You know, so it looks like maybe basketball is another option for him, too. Where do you think you see him going, you know, football or basketball?
I would say 95% sure he plays football in college. And I say that because I know a very good friend of the program, Ryan James, and he's probably listening to this just laughing at me. But, you know, AAU programs and different college coaches have really stayed away from Tyler knowing that he has all these Big Ten offers.
Mm-hmm.
And why would he go to a school like I'm trying to even think of, you know, mid-level schools, mid-level D1, because I think he could probably play mid-level D1 for basketball when he could play Big Ten level football.
Sure.
And I think they're thinking the same thing that he is. I mean, Tyler hasn't come out and said what he's chosen yet. And again, I wouldn't be shocked to see a tweet tonight that, you know, I'm deciding to play basketball. I also wouldn't be surprised to see a tweet saying he's going to commit somewhere tomorrow.
Sure.
It's just his mind is so you know, he's still in the recruiting process. He's still trying to accept everything and deal with it. But I would be very shocked if he did not play football in college.
Okay. Well, let's transition and talk a little bit about camp since it's going to be opening here soon. So, you know, early in episodes 1, 2, and 3, we talked a lot about the offense specifically, then the defense, and then the special teams. So let's not focus so much on position groups or sides of the football, but let's focus on positions specifically, and especially positions that especially positions where we're going to have some battles. So, for instance, obviously, I think the first thing that comes to go for fans' minds is running back, right? So they lose David Cobb to the NFL, and we've talked about, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to have a hand in this role. So let's talk about that competition and who's going to be involved and who maybe even who you expect to come out on top.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, camp, as we're recording it Monday night here, is 4 days away, and my God, it could not come any sooner. It's been a long off season. That's for dang sure. And I mean, if your juices aren't starting to get going here with the beginning of August and camp right around the corner, and especially with TCU only four and a half weeks away here, you got to question your fanhood. So, I mean, I'm very excited. It should be a very good year, and I'm, you know, starting Friday, going through Tuesday, I'll be at practice every day, and, you know, I'll have full coverage on GopherDigest.com that, you know, people should definitely check out. So, as far as running back, I actually did a Scout Now video about this today on this exact position, on the running back position. And so, I believe Jerry Keel said this at Big Ten Media Days last week, where he said that I think we're going to go by with a running back by committee approach, and I firmly believe that's going to be the case. I think to start the year, what you're going to see is you're going to see a combination of three different running backs and maybe four. So I think senior Roderick Williams, redshirt freshman Rodney Smith, sophomore Berkeley Edwards, and maybe a dash or two of Jeff Jones, but I think he's ultimately going to be a receiver. So between Roderick, Rodney, and Berkeley, I think you're going to see them split carries throughout the year, probably somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, 45, 35, and 20, probably between Rodney and Roderick getting the bulk of the carries. But I think when you look at TCU and when they kick off Thursday night, what running back are Gopher fans going to see in the backfield? And I believe it'll be Roderick Williams. I mean, Kill has come out and said so many positive public things about him lately, about how he's dropped weight. He's been a model citizen. He's really worked his butt off, you know, this past summer. And I think they owe it to him. You know, I think Kill's even come out and said that, you know, he's been through the program for three different years now. So I think he'll get the nod. But don't be shocked. I think this is just, I see it every podcast, but don't be shocked when Rodney Smith, you know, eventually emerges from this running back by committee. And mm-hmm. When I say emerges, I don't think he's going to get the David Cobb type touches where it's 20, 25, 30 a game.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised if, you know, once the Big Ten season starts rolling around, if Rodney isn't the guy who's getting the bulk of the carries.
Sure.
And I say that because I think Rodney Smith is a lot like David Cobb. I loved him this past spring. He was very patient. He's very good at getting yards after contact like Cobb was, and I think he has better speed. Where Cobb may have been 225 pounds, 230 pounds, Rodney's only 200, 205, but don't let that discourage you. I think he can definitely handle a full workload like Cobb did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think he'll eventually emerge in 2016. But between Roderick and Rodney and a newly bulked up Berkeley Edwards, may I say, I did see Berkeley at one of the July camps because his brother Bailey, who we just talked about,
right,
you know, was there. Berkeley looked huge. He looked like he put on an easy 10 pounds in his upper body. His arms were massive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if, you know, say worse comes to worse and Roderick and Rodney somehow come down to they're out an extended period of time, I would have no problem with Berkeley being a 15, 20 touch a game guy. I think he can handle the workload. I think some fans may be, you know, shaking their head at that, but the man is 200 pounds now at 5'9". He's very solid. I mean, Minnesota didn't recruit him when he eventually committed here, I believe it was in 2013, 2014. I mean, the idea was for him to be a 15, 20 carry a game guy. And I think he's finally at a weight where he can do so.
Sure.
But again, with Jeff Jones, I know he's a top 100 running back in the nation when he committed out of high school. I know that. Okay. I also know he was transitioned to wide receiver for the latter half of spring ball, and he looked pretty damn good doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So why worry about Jeff at running back right now when you have three, you know, capable and really, you know, they're capable of handling a full workload. Plus you have three true freshmen on campus. Why not focus Jeff at another position? So while I think, you know, when we come back a week from today and start talking about, you know, what's happened in fall camp so far, I believe I'm still going to be singing the same tune that it's going to be a running back by committee. I think Roderick starts the year. I think Rodney becomes more and more relevant as the season rolls on. And Berkeley is an eventual 5-10, you know, touch a game guy as well with his speed. So I think eventually it's running back by committee.
Sure. All right, let's go to probably the other position of interest, or the position with most interest being wide receiver, right? So we've talked a little bit about, you know, we both think KJ May, he's going to be head and shoulders kind of the number one guy, right? But after that, it's kind of unsure who's going to be that next second, third, even fourth guy. So you've got Wolitarski's got some experience. Eric Carter has a little, but very, very little experience. And then it's basically, you know, the world's your oyster after that. You got Jeff Jones, Isaiah Gentry, Melvin Holland, Gant, tons of names. So let's just talk a little bit about wide receiver and where you think that's going to shake out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting to me because I'll be reading previews from, you know, places like ESPN, and they have Wolitarski as the more proven guy of this receiving core.
Sure.
And I'm thinking to myself, why are you saying that? That's not true at all.
Right.
I mean, it. Body talked about it. Theron Cochran talked about it. Even Kill talked about it at Big Ten Media Days. KJ is the guy that is going to be the guy this year. He's the only one of this group that is a bona fide starter from day one. And I think he's probably going to be your leading target getter in this offense. And it baffles me that national media is saying, well, it's going to be Wolitarski and maybe May. Maybe. Going to be KJ all the way.
Yeah.
So I'm just beside him. I think it's absolutely wide open. Like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, you have guys like Drew Wolitarski potentially and Eric Carter. I mean, Drew has played since he was a true freshman, but it seems that every season he gets nicked up or
he's injured.
You know, something.
Yeah.
He's just not durable.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's hard to, you know, gauge going into a season because obviously every guy's healthy at this stage. But I just don't see, you know, it's been two straight years. I mean, a third year is a pattern. So I just can't project Drew to be that starting receiver for TCU. The guy I think, and that I've been hyping up the last couple of weeks, is Jeff Jones. I honestly think he could be your starting receiver outside of KJ May.
Sure.
I think you could roll with Jeff Jones and KJ May. So 6'5", 5'10".
Well, aren't they a little bit too similar maybe?
I think that it's two different skill sets. I mean, I understand that people may put them into the slot receiver category.
Sure.
But, and where that may be KJ's role as, you know, like a Z receiver always coming across the formation and in motion,
mm-hmm.
I think Jeff can absolutely play outside.
Sure.
I understand that, you know, he's very new to the position, which he is, you know, transitioning from a primarily, you know, running back in high school. But it's just when he gets on the field, he is such a smart football player. He has such a high football IQ that his talent and the way how quickly he learns as a football player, it's just how can you keep him off the field if he's capable and ready to go? I mean, he's got sure hands. He's got good speed.
Mm-hmm.
His jump cuts are unbelievable. He can stop on a dime. And if you can do those things, especially in like the bubble screen game or the short slant game, how do you keep him off the field?
Sure.
I just can't see it, especially with what they need at receiver to give somebody, you know, somebody that can get open. I can definitely see Jeff getting open. So it's I honestly think that Jeff Jones, come Big Ten season, will be starting. You know, and if it's not Jeff, I think it could be any one of these, you know, redshirt freshman receivers.
All right. So do you, one thing I've been curious about, and I think we talked about this earlier too, but do you think you see, you know, some more bubble screen action, you know, quick passes to outside receivers? Because that's basically been absent from this offense, you know, for the entirety of Kill being here.
Do I think we see more of it in 2015?
Yes.
Yes, I do. You know, the only guy who could really do it, so much of it last year was a little, they really tried to do some of it with Berkeley, but Berkeley's hands weren't the greatest. But I mean, if you put Jeff out there, you know, say Jeff Jones is out there, Melvin Holland, Eric Carter, even, you know, Melvin Holland, absolutely. I mean, you even saw it in the spring. You saw the bubble screen game. You saw a bunch of different types, you know, with the receiver screens, receiver short passes.
Yeah.
To really try to get Mitch into rhythm probably early in the game to get his confidence high, you know, complete three or four of these easy passes to set it up for play action deep to a guy like Gentry or Desmond Gant over the top. And so I definitely think you see more in the bubble screen game, more in the short to intermediate game than you probably have seen in years past, just because you don't have a security blanket like Max Williams there.
Yep.
So, but again, it's just, it depends on how these redshirt freshman receivers take a step forward in the next week or two. It's really going to come down to how they do that.
Sure.
And so, I mean, again, I wouldn't be shocked to see Melvin Holland starting alongside KJ May, Desmond Gant, Isaiah Gentry, Eric Carter. It's just, it's wide open. Or maybe even one of the true freshman guys in Hunter Register or Rashad Still. I mean, because golly, I'll tell you what, I saw them at a couple of the July camps in person because they were there helping out. They look like $1 million, man. Both of them are 6'5", 200. Holy cow.
Right.
So it just depends on how their route running is because, you know, wide receivers coach Brian Anderson is huge on that, making sure they know the correct routes with the play call. So Liner, if he throws it to the spot, they're there, and it doesn't make him look bad. So it is wide open there. I would say the front runners heading into camp on Friday, if I had to put a pecking order on it, I would say Drew Olatarski is probably the leader just because he's the guy coming back with the most experience, you know, heading into his true junior year.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Jeff Jones is in the second position and probably a guy like Melvin Holland is third.
Okay.
So we'll see. It's going to be something I'm very excited to see how it unfolds here in the next week or two.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk a little bit about maybe an unglamorous position in the offensive line, but, you know, so important given that Minnesota runs the ball so much. And left guard kind of sticks out as one spot that that really maybe isn't spoken for and maybe is up for grabs a little bit. So who you got, you know, maybe battling it out there for the left guard spot?
Yeah, so Kill came out and said earlier last week at Media Days that John Christensen will start. And that's very surprising to me. For a couple of reasons here. I was talking to one source here in the last couple of weeks who told me that the only guy who is guaranteed to start on this Gopher offensive line was Josh Campion. And so to hear Kill come out and say that, especially with the spring that Brian Bobeck had, is very surprising to me.
Sure.
So, you know, what does that mean? So if Kill says John Christensen is going to start, where is that going to be? It's either going to be at center or left guard, obviously. And I would be, you know, I'm leaning towards left guard at this spot just because, you know, if Brian could stay healthy, he's one of, I know that the weight changes came out today, and I think he was about 290 at 6'2". Mm-hmm. So people may be like, 6'2", 290? He can't play in the Big Ten. Well, let me tell you, Brian Bobeck is one of the strongest Gophers on this team. And ask any of the guys, and they'll tell you that. I mean, I've talked to multiple people around the program who are that he's busted his butt, you know, this offseason trying to make sure and try to prove to people that he can play. Obviously, he was a highly touted four-star Ohio State transfer. So I think this is Brian Bobeck's year to start at center, especially, you know, trying to transition to Connor Mays or Tyler Moore next year. But, you know, at left guard, I would say it's John Christensen battling Joe Bjorklund. Both will be fifth-year, you know, redshirt seniors. Christensen trying to recover from that broken leg and getting his strength back. And Joe really played a lot last year. I think he started four or five games. and he really played a lot at both guard spots, and he played there at left guard exclusively this past spring. So if I had to give you a projected starting offensive line, I would go at this point in time, probably Ben Lauer at left tackle, John Christensen left guard, Brian Bobeck at center, Josh Campion right guard, Jonah Persig right tackle. And that should be very good news to Gopher fans. As you look across the line, you have, I believe, three redshirt seniors on the interior and two redshirt juniors on the outside. That is old men, and that is exactly what you want when you're trying to have Mitch Leiner take the next step and trying to replace David Cobb. So
right.
At left guard, it, you know, is definitely a position to watch, though. But I would say if Kill is coming out to the media and to the public and saying John Christensen will start, to me that means left guard.
Sure. All right, let's transition now to the defensive side of the ball. And in my opinion, the Gophers lost their best player on defense this last year in Damian Wilson. And he, and all reports are looking like he's getting a lot of run in Dallas now, maybe even seeing some first-team reps. So how are they going to replace him at middle linebacker?
You know, there's a bunch of different ways I could see this happening. I mean, there's three guys that I think I would have no problem starting there. The first guy is Jack Lynn. So Jack started at outside linebacker last year. And in this past spring, you know, Sherrills and Clays and Kill were trying to, you know, experiment with the different things. And that included Jack Lynn getting some time at Mike. You know, he's 6'4", 6'5". He's huge, you know, 240 pounds. But I mean, to me, I think his skill set is more suited on the outside necessarily to the inside. But I mean, say nickel situations, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see, you know, a combination of Jack Lynn and Devondre Campbell, or Jack Lynn and you know, Jonathan Celestine, and some kind of combination. Just know that Jack Lynn will be on the, you know, on the field a lot this year. And if I had to pick a guy who is going to be the leading tackler to replace Damian's production, it would probably be Jack, even though he's probably going to play Will or, you know, Will or Sam. But
sure.
So who does play Mike? Well, it's going to come down to two different guys. It's going to be either Everett Williams, who replaced Damian when he had that little issue in the Iowa game, or JUCO transfer Cody Pope. So Cody is from Iowa Western. It seems like the Gophers have gotten a junior college player out of there every year, you know, between Cody and Ace Rogers, who's also going to have a huge role on this team. But, you know, Cody was second string the entire spring, which is, again, the same path that Damian took when he transferred in from his junior college, and he really didn't start until really the first game. Even throughout fall camp that year, he was only intermittently, you know, sprinkled in with the ones as the staff really wanted him to earn it. So, you know, Cody's going to be battling Everett Williams, so true sophomore Everett Williams, who started for the Iowa game. And my hesitation on Everett is I don't know if he's athletic enough. It's just he's 6'1", 225, and I don't know that he has a sideline-to-sideline speed. I mean, again, this is me saying that as I haven't seen him live for 4 months, and I'm hoping he does everything in his power to prove me wrong 4 days from now, but it'll be an interesting battle to watch, absolutely, even though, you know, Minnesota does play nickel 60% of the time, 65% of the time, but if I had to bet, oh, man. I would say probably Cody Polk I'd give the edge to, just because he dominated the spring game. And I know the spring
right.
game, you know, in the long scheme of things, and even the Gopher coaches will tell you this, means nothing. But the man made like 16, 17 tackles, was all over the place, isn't afraid to fill a hole. And I think he's similar to Damian, except he doesn't have the sideline speed and explosiveness that Damian had. But if you're looking for a guy who's going to knock you down you know, every play, third, fourth quarter, it's December, it's cold, you don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cody Pope.
Okay.
So I would say Cody Pope is who I would project come TCU.
All right. So, okay, another spot then is outside linebacker. If we end up seeing Jack Lynn move inside, but, you know, if he is playing outside, you know, is Devondre Campbell a shoe-in for the other outside?
You know, I would say probably yes at this point in time, but Devondre Campbell is one of the most, you know, highly disputed hot topics for Gopher fans. And, you know, it's deservingly so. I mean, there are times where Devondre looks phenomenal. His
yep.
closing speed to the, you know, to the flats is phenomenal. He gets a tackle for loss. And then there's times you'll see Devondre float into the zone coverage. His other 10 teammates are on the same page, and he's lost somewhere on around Mars. So he's got all the athletic ability in the world. He will be an NFL draft pick next year, I think, really depending on some kind of a dud of a season, because there's just not many people in this world that are 6'4", 6'5", 6'5½", 240 pounds, who can run with it like he does, with his length, with his athletic ability. So, I mean, I love Jonathan Celestine to death, especially for a guy who played as a true freshman last year, had no other offers. He came in with a chip on his shoulder. And, I mean, if we were having this podcast at this time last year, Jonathan Celestine would have been one of the last people I would have said would have played. And
sure.
He came in, played right away, proved that he was definitely adequate. And, I mean, he was a guy who came in and replaced Devondre at times when Devondre did have those lapses in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I had to say who's more solid between the two of them, like, you know what you're going to get each play and, you know, each play and play out, I would say Jonathan Celestine. But if you're looking for the extreme potential of what could happen if you have this guy out here, and especially if that light bulb starts to go on, oh man, things could be scary for Devondre Campbell. That could be it could be one of the years to remember, especially, you know, trying to replace Damian Wilson. So, I mean, against TCU, I would have Devondre Campbell out there to try and deal with all that speed that they have and, you know, hope that a light bulb really starts to go on for him in the non-conference, as, you know, Colorado State, Ohio, especially getting into the Big Ten season. But, I mean, if you had to project, you know, it may be a week from now where I'm sitting here saying, well, I don't know, why did I just say that a week ago? But I would say Jack Lynn, Cody Polk, and Devondre Campbell. But know that, you know, Everett Williams and Jonathan Celestine, who both played as true freshmen last year, are going to definitely be pushing them and giving them a run for their money.
Sure. All right, so practice starts on Friday.
Yep.
You'll be out there covering it, having updates all over the interwebs and the Twitter machine. So people can check that out. Obviously, we will talk about that going forward on the next podcast. So people have that to look forward to as well. So,
yeah, it should be good. As I said, practice starts Friday, I believe, at 10:15 a.m. I'm excited. I mean, we're going to have on Gopher Digest coverage from top to bottom, you know, first couple of days, who's really looking good for the freshman, who's standing out. And then as we develop over the weekend and, you know, that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday range,
mm-hmm.
as pads start to come on Sunday, Monday into Tuesday, it's going to be really rolling. I can guarantee that you'll find, you know, a place harder, you know, that's got more content out than Gopher Digest. As we got, a couple of good things in the works here that I can guarantee that, you know, some other sites might not have. So with, you know, August cranking up here, never been a better time to join here at Gopher Digest. Well, we'd love to have you. You know, it's only, you know, $90 a year, or, you know, less than $10 a month. I mean, if you're thinking about joining, I would encourage you to shoot me an email or shoot me a tweet at BurnsRyanMN and just talk with me about it. I'd love to talk with you about it, what different features you get. But yeah, start Friday. You know, fall camp starts. We're really starting to get rocking and rolling, and we'll be cranking out podcasts probably bi-weekly here as fall camp starts to go.